Welcome to the Sermon Podcast for All Saints Lutheran Church. I am Matthew Reese, the Director of Music Ministries. All Saints is located in Davenport, Iowa, and is a member congregation of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Each week we bring you a recording of the gospel lesson and sermon. Thank you for joining us on this journey of faith.
The Gospel according to Matthew, beginning with the fifth chapter at the first verse, we read to you, O Lord. We read, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak, and he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who are meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake, for they will be fulfilled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people revile and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Well, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, on this All Saints Sunday. Well, today, in many ways, we say to ourselves, time marches on. We feel the change of seasons. The election is sweeping by us. All of these things are happening around us. Last Tuesday evening, the Los Angeles Dodgers beat the Tampa Bay Rays in the concluding game of the World Series. Ho-hum. I'm sure the series was exciting for Los Angeles and Tampa Bay residents. But you know, here in Iowa, it's like, oh well. This year's World Series hardly compares to the excitement generated 4 years ago by the Chicago Cubs, when they beat the Cleveland Indians 8-7 in the 10th inning of the 7th game. The Cubs finally won baseball's championship after 108 winless years. I went to bed that evening with the Cubs ahead 5-1. Expecting our oldest Chapman to handle any batter Cleveland might send to the plate. But obviously, I was wrong. After midnight, the phone rang twice at our house, but by that time, I was asleep. The next morning, when I woke, my wife discovered that our son, John, and his sister, Sarah, had both called us that night before to tell us the Cubs had won. They surprised me. Story after story appeared in the newspaper describing the emotional reaction people had to that Cubs victory. One picture showed Harry Carey's grave with a basket of green apples piled near his tombstone, recalling what Carey had once said. Sure as God made green apples, someday those Chicago Cubs are going to win the World Series. And another story told about a man who drove from North Carolina to Indiana to listen to the Game 7 at his father's grave. Father had died back in 1980. You could go up and down the streets of our community and see the blue and white W flag hung at many houses. Fans wore their Cubs jerseys and spoke reverently about keeping the faith. It's most peculiar. Deceased fans were remembered. Present team members, such as Ben Zobrist, Dave Ross, Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant, were hailed for their as heroes. Past players like Ernie Banks, Ryan Sanders, and Greg Maddux were recalled. As I got to thinking about all this, I said, you know, the response to the Cubs victory reminds me in a way of our Christian celebration of All Saints Day. We too have a championship celebration, but it's not the victory, a championship victory in baseball, but the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we have a symbol too. Our symbol is not the W, but the cross. And we are not fans of Jesus, we're called disciples. So today we remember Christians who, both past and present, who have kept the faith and who continue to inspire us in our own discipleship. The Christian observance of All Saints Day goes well beyond the celebration of any athletic event like the World Series or any other type of athletic activity. Taken together, we learn the importance of memory, the commitment to common values, and the celebration of achievement. Our celebration of All Saints Day stems from the belief that a powerful spiritual bond exists between those in heaven, who we call the church triumphant, and the living, who we say are the church militant. In Lutheran theology, All Saints Day revolves around giving God thanks for the lives and deaths of all the saints, including those who died as heroes of the faith, number one, those who died in the faith, number two, and all who live in the faith today. All who live in the faith today. It's about us, too. As such, individuals throughout the church, Catholic, are honored, such as the Apostle Paul or Augustine of Hippo or Martin Luther. In addition to those who have powerfully led one to faith in Jesus, such as one's own family members. Our gospel for this Sunday from the Gospel according to St. Matthew gives definition to our understanding to what it means to be a saint and to celebrate All Saints Day within the church. Matthew offers us his version of the Beatitudes. Paul looks upon his disciples and says this. He says to them, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." And he adds, "Blessed are you who hunger or are hungry now, for you will be filled." And finally, "Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh." The key word here is this word blessed. Some versions of the Bible translate the word as happiness. But happiness doesn't really have all that definition to it. Happiness can mean many things. Scripture helps us to understand how Jesus uses the word more particularly, more. The most important aspect of being blessed implies that we have a spiritual bond or relationship with God. Jesus says those who are poor, hungry, or weep, or are hated, reviled, or defamed will be called blessed. Obviously, no one is happy if they are poor or hungry or weeping. And the same can be said for being hated, reviled, or defamed. But to be blessed means to love and trust in the power and grace of God, knowing He will keep His promise to raise us up from our time of want. Jesus says this, He says, "For rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven." God brings the hope of redemption to those who trust Him. Jesus wastes no time denouncing those who exult in their wealth at the expense of the poor. He says to them, "Woe are you." Finally, Jesus lays out clearly what He expects from His disciples. He has this to say, "Love your enemies, Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Last Friday, I attended a noon luncheon meeting, and a good friend of mine came and sat down with me at my table. And as conversations would go at this time of year, he asked, "Well, how do you think this election's going to turn out?" And my response to his question is that our nation must live by the Beatitudes. Love your enemies, do good to those who hate us, bless those who curse, and pray for those who abuse us. And these are the themes that have not been heard a lot in this election campaign. And so my advice to the friend is, I said, vote the Beatitudes. Recently, I read a biography of Ulysses Grant, and I recall the chapter on Lee's surrender at Appomattox. When Lee met with Grant, a big question loomed in the air. And the question dealt with the terms of surrender. A great war had just torn apart our nation. 720,000 men died fighting. Think about that. 720,000 died fighting. It was a huge disaster. And many wanted retribution. Grant set the tone for surrender by encouraging the soldiers to return to their homes and shops and begin the process of healing and rebuilding their lives and community. He didn't have anything to say about retribution, but instead he spoke about recreating unity in our republic. We need individuals like Ulysses Grant today, who place an emphasis on reconciliation and not division. It's that attitude that defines for Christian what it means to be saints. We're the people who bring people together. We cause reconciliation. You know, four years ago, hundreds of thousands of people gathered in Chicago to celebrate the World Series victory of the Chicago Cubs. Today, Christians gather in their churches to remember and celebrate All Saints Sunday. We're not just fans of Jesus. Instead, we're his disciples, and that makes a big difference. A game is won on the playing field by a team. The fans cheer the team on. In the church, it's different. In the church, we are the team, all of us here, along with Christians everywhere. The fans cheer their team on. In the church, it's of course different. We are the team, and God is the one who achieves his victory through each of us. I'm sure many prayers were offered for both teams on that night in the World Series 4 years ago. I hope as disciples, we're praying. I hope we're praying constantly for the saints of God. Together, here at All Saints, we are the community of saints. Every day we're challenged to live the Beatitudes in a world that knows not Christ and doesn't know his way. So go from this church today with the knowledge that you are one of God's saints. Recall you have been blessed for a ministry and mission of reconciliation that leads to the redemption of humanity and this world through the power and grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. It is our prayer that this podcast is a blessing to you on your journey. For more information about All Saints, please visit us online at allsaintsdavenport.org. May God bless you this week and always.